Welcome to today's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm really excited for you to hear this interview. I just got done recording with Jasper Smith, and this is going to be a fantastic episode to listen to. Is there any point in saving for the future? That's what we're talking about today. There's some great questions. Will saving make you wealthy? Everything is so expensive right now. How do you afford to save? Is it too late to get started saving? Why is it so hard to start saving? These are some great questions that have some great answers from Jasper. So the money talking points for today's episode, they are: how can I get started saving money or improve how I'm saving money if I need to? And two, will you be my money talk partner? And that is like an accountability partner. I want you to find someone who you can share and talk about money with, and then invite them to be your money talk partner so that you can share your goals and your successes and failures with money so that you can all do better together as we talk about money more. But I'm excited for today's episode. So with all that in mind, let's get right into today's episode. You know, we don't talk about money enough. It's a topic that gets ignored for some reason, even though it plays a role in everyone's day-to-day life. Well, this issue is what brought Money Talk with Skylar Fleming to reality. I know you're probably busy and don't have time to research and learn about all the things that go into personal finance, but that's where this podcast comes into play. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming, and I'm here to do the research and learn all the extra stuff about personal finance for you. The goal is to simply get us talking about money. So let's get talking. Welcome to another great interview. On this one, we have Jasper Smith, and we're going to be talking all about saving for the future. Is there any point in doing it? But Jasper, do you want to introduce yourself real quick?
Yeah, really quick. I'm Jasper Smith, also known as Mr. Bill Wealth. And I like to tell people I'm a financial planner, advisor, coach, counselor, author, speaker, therapist. But just put financial in front of it, I'm your guy. So happy to be here, Skylar. Really excited to talk about this this topic today of saving, because I don't think people understand just how important it is to your overall financial success.
Yeah, there's a lot that can go into it. And there's a lot of emotion it can stir up. Like you said, that you're a financial planner, therapist, all those sorts of things. That's because money touches all those different areas of our life. And so can deciding whether or not to save money. But let's just start off right off with a question that I think a lot of people think about or are curious about. But saving, it won't make me wealthy, will it? Can I get wealthy just from saving alone?
Absolutely not.
Interesting. Yeah, we come right out of the gate saying don't save money. Is that what you're saying? No, don't spend it all.
I'm not saying don't save it, but saving won't make you wealthy. Mm-hmm. I love saving. Saving makes sense. It's just getting wealthy is going to require you to really learn and understand investing. And it's just simple math, Skylar. It is. Rates at banks and credit unions just aren't high enough for you to really create wealth. Yeah, that's why it's not. Yeah, you can save, but it won't make you wealthy.
Yeah, just funneling your paycheck into your credit union savings account that's earning 0.05% as its high rate right now, you're not going to go anywhere with it. I remember my grandma, she'll often, and I mean, her interest rates may be going up a little bit, but she still only has her money put in a regular money market at a credit union. And I'm sitting here telling her, I'm like, you could even just have a different bank account and be making more money than that, let alone having it invested well. Like, yeah. So she likes to complain. She's like, I remember when I used to be getting maybe hundreds of dollars on this account. And I'm like, you could, you just got to put it in the right place.
You do agree. And that's hard too for people of a certain age where rates were a lot more favorable in a banking or credit union setting. But just imagine if the banks or credit unions were paying those types of rates, what was the stock market doing or the real estate market doing in comparison to those higher rates? And so reality is, if you had to do a comparison of those who chose not to take, we'll call it more risk, we know who won that battle over a longer period of time.
I had that thought too before. I was like, once I really started to understand, because I was a kid when she was telling me these things at first, and I was like, well, okay, banks suck. But now as I look back and think on it, I was like, wow, she would have been in the right places, especially like in the latest run the stock markets had before we've been adjusting and stuff. Yes. She could have really been making some money. So
absolutely.
So yeah, that covers that. You're not going to get wealthy just off of funneling money into a regular savings account. But people say they should invest in the stock market, but right now it seems like it's only going down. So why bother with that?
So I don't want to bore you with history of stock market returns, Skylar, but if anybody's interested, take a look to see what the S&P 500 has done since the Great Depression. You'll become a fan of investing because honestly, depending on what time frame you're looking at, it's brutal. And so the key is once it gets really bad, it gets really good shortly after. We never know how quickly it'll turn around. I'll give you an example. 08, 09 was pretty rough. Most people can remember where they were in 08, 08, 09. So the bottom of the market, they called it March of 2009. And then for the next 10 years, the stock market went up. Mm-hmm. Could I interest you in investing? So I know it was rough, but depending on where you are on your, I like to call it your build wealth journey, I think staying in the market makes sense because there are going to be those ups and downs. But even with those down times, over time, I will still outperform that savings account. Like I know that to be true because I've lived it. You've probably lived it where, yeah, it got a little rough, but look how I bounced back because I was willing to stay in if that's the decision that I made.
Yeah, that's what I'm my wife and I are having those conversations right now where we were young when 08 and 09 happened. We weren't really like this is our first experience, I would say, with investing. I mean, we've only been married for just about 3 years. So like nice. We haven't been doing a lot with money together, but now we're starting to go through a period where that 401k balance isn't always going up every day. Like we're down in our IRAs and things like that. And we're experiencing those emotions for the first time. But yeah. I keep telling her like, hey, let's just hold on. We're fine. And we're able to get by. Like we don't need that money right now. Yeah. And then on the other side of this investing journey, when it starts going up and who knows? You never know. It may go up for five straight years, 10, 20, who knows? But like to miss out on that growth plane that it's going to have is just, in my opinion, not worth staying out of it.
Yeah, agreed. Yes. And even though we know that to be true, something in our minds is still telling us to not do it. And it's partly the media, it's partly, you know, like you say, your spouse, your significant other, it's whoever you're surrounding yourself with. Because if you're talking to people like myself who have been in the industry for, you know, over 15 years, we're going to have a downturn again. We'll have a nice upswing or a bull market. We're going to keep riding this kind of roller coaster as we go through life. But the question is, what did you do the last time it happened? So if you can do a more recent example, March 2020.
Yeah.
COVID hits. It's rough for literally the first 3 months. And then the remaining part of 2020. The stock market did incredible. Mm-hmm. But for that 3 month time span, if that was your first time investing, oh, you hate the stock market. You hate investing because everything plummeted because of COVID. And then literally we forgot, got comfortable with being like at home and the market slowly just turned right around. If you look at the charts, March, it'll go down, 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 March.
Yep. Yeah, there's numbers out there that I can't rattle them off the top of my head, but like there's a certain time period where the S&P 500 returns like practically like rounding up from 99.9 billion nines, it's going to go up like almost 100% guarantee after a certain amount of time frame.
Yeah, it's a patience thing. If we understand what we're actually doing and the goals that we set out for whatever funds we're investing or saving, that'll help dictate, you know, how you kind of move. The problem is people don't really have a firm or a solid game plan for their savings or for their investments or for retirement. And so we kind of just waver between making decisions that sometimes are not in our best interest.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And my friends and the younger target audience of this podcast, this is likely their first little bit of that roller coaster like you were describing. Yeah. And you and I are sitting here saying it's going to go up. It's going to go up. So why even bother putting your money in now? Should they just hold on to the cash until it starts going back up, or what's the point?
Well, it always will depend on the individual. And I think, Skylar, what people really want is this kind of blanket advice about what I should do. But planning is very personal. It's very, like, I think there's some common threads that are helpful for everybody. But if it's not the right time, or, you know, something's happened in your life recently where you can't really kind of make that decision, that's okay. I mean, you can stay in cash and you can play the waiting game. The problem is, when do you get back in? Like, when do you start? Because the stock market is not going to call you and say, hey, Skylar, today I'm going to go up. You should invest today. Like, you're not getting that phone call. You're not getting that email, that text message. So the idea is I need to get in and stay in as opposed to trying to time the market, which is where a lot of people get into trouble, that you get lucky, sometimes you get unlucky, and then there's everything in between. But if I spend time in the market, I generally will do better in the long run, as opposed to getting in, getting out, hoarding cash, and then dumping a lot of cash in. Just try to stay in at some level.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I caught right at the beginning of what you were saying there is that your plan's personal. Like, I'll tell all my friends, like, right now, be dumping money into the stock market if you can. Like, it's, if you can afford it in your budget and everything like that, do it. But my wife and I, we aren't investing a lot because she's in PA school and we're in a point where we're saving for college and saving for college expenses. So it's personal. Yeah. Like you said, there's going to be a point where she's making a good income as a PA and we're able to invest more. It's all a balance. Like you're saying, it's very personal.
Yeah. And if I can add one more thing, Skylar, it's never all or nothing for me. So even with my clients, when people say, I want to do this and not that, it should be, I want to do this and this. So you all have some expenses because of schooling for your wife. Okay. So maybe we can't invest or save as much, but we still should be doing a little bit, like you said, if we can afford to do it, because then once school is done, all that money you were used to like saving and spending on the school or the education, now it all comes back to you. So now you can ramp up, but you've already started. So you're not starting from zero. That's the key, where sometimes we wait too long and then we miss that upswing in the market. And we're like, I'll get in when I pay off all my debt. If the stock market goes crazy and you miss that upswing, I don't think waiting was in your best interest. And so it's a juggling act. Like you really got to decide, is the time right or not? But can I do a little bit of everything? And if so, I should do it.
Yeah, keeping that momentum going, like you're saying, with the time in the market, if you're able to take advantage of that time, even with what little you can do. We're still at my job right now, making sure to take care of our employer match that my company offers. Like that's the little bit we can do right now. And that's completely okay.
Absolutely.
Well, another thing, since we've just talked about saving and investing a little bit, let's turn maybe a little bit to looking at how people spend right now, and how do you balance that saving versus spending and not necessarily investing, because everything's so expensive right now. How can someone even afford to start saving? Like, how do they do that little bit that you were mentioning?
Start where you are. It's laughable, Skylar, but people say, well, where's saving $20 a month going to get me? It'll get you a lot further than the person doing $0 a month.
Yeah, that $20 a month, that $20 a month will get you to 40. That'll get you to 60. Like, it just gets you started on that right path.
It does. And then and what you do is you try to increase your savings incrementally. Like, that's the key. So if you're starting at 20 a month, well, in 3 months, can we do 25? You know, another 3 months, can we do maybe 35 or 40? So you want to constantly challenge yourself to do a little bit more than you're comfortable doing. Because it's all to your benefit. Like I think being as a practitioner, people think, well, Jasper, you just want to sell more. I'm trying to actually help you. Like, if you're my client, Skylar, I actually want to see you save money. Mm-hmm. I want you to build that emergency fund. But if you don't make the commitment to yourself to do it and you don't take my advice, then I can only wish you the best. Mm-hmm. I can't make you do the work, but I can guide you. Again, I can guide you all day long. But if you're not willing to make the commitment, that's not on me. And I sleep well knowing that I've listened to what you said you wanted to accomplish, but you got to start where you are. And I would say in the same lines too, thinking about just managing your expectations. So if I'm only saving $20 a month, like, I'm not going to have $1 million tomorrow or in 5. Like, it's just manage your expectations accordingly, but just stay, like, start where you are.
Yeah. And I think, like you're saying, getting committed and getting on that path is a whole lot easier to do when you're saying, okay, I'm going to do $20 this month, instead of saying, oh, I need to do $1,000 every single month. Like, you got to start small.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I also would share with your audience is have some accountability partners.
Mm-hmm. Love accountability partners.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if you're single, just you and some friends, like, start having these discussions and challenge each other, no matter where you are individually. You know, Skylar, you might say, you know, I can do $100 this month. I'm going to say I can only do 25, but let's keep each other on point. And so every month, I'm like, yo, Skylar, did you do yours? You say, Jasper, did you do yours? I'm going to say yes and yes. And if it's a no, hey, man, why didn't you do your 100 like you said you were going to do? So then you kind of build in this, we're all trying to help each other, but we're working on our stuff individually. And I think there's that, that's when you build that sense of community, you don't feel like you're the only one who's struggling with saving or budgeting or whatever the issue is. Mm-hmm. You just won't feel so alone. And then that also is what encourages you to keep going, because you'll see somebody who you know, like, and or trust, like your friend. You're like, if they can do it, there's no reason why I can't do it.
Yeah. And that's honestly one of the main focal points around my podcast is just start talking about money. Cause like you're saying, it builds that momentum, that camaraderie around everyone's doing better with their money because we're actually mm-hmm. talking about it. We're sharing our struggles and our successes, and then we're all doing better with money.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. You got it.
Perfect. Awesome. Well, a couple things I think we've covered a lot so far, a couple things that I think we've touched on that I'd like to just clarify, but if someone's maybe older or their first time hearing about this whole investing thing or index funds and things like that, is it too late for them to start?
No.
I knew that would be your answer, but I love it. It's true.
I'm so sick of the, well, it's too late for me, or, you know, I wish I would have got started 10 years ago. We all wish we would do things differently now that we've lived, all of us. Mm-hmm. So even with money, well, if I couldn't save a lot when I was younger, and I have clients who are, you know, in their 50s and 60s, and they're like, when I was 20, 30, 40, I should have been saving more and investing more. And so I think we have to acknowledge the past, but we can't keep using that as this crutch or this excuse or reason as to why we can't try. Because unless you know the day you are going off to glory, you need to be trying. Just try. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't save enough, you know, to your liking, but you prove to yourself that you can save. Maybe you didn't invest early enough, so you missed, you know, you missed out on some. That's okay. But let's start where we are. And so it's never too late. Unless you tell yourself it's too late, then it's too late.
Yeah. You got to keep that open mindset towards it. But that mindset can be hard. Why is it so hard to start saving, whether you're young or old?
A couple of reasons. It's one, a lot of our families didn't talk about money. So you grew up in a house where bills got paid, food was on the table, but nobody really talked about the process of doing that. And so if you didn't talk about it, then perhaps there wasn't an example. So some of us just don't even know what it looks like to do it. We've heard it in theory, but we can't say, hey, my mom, dad, cousin, sister, brother talked about how they save money and why. And again, we talk about having this conversation and having it consistently. We don't have those examples. You know, and I kind of joke sometimes with this last one, but nobody made it cool. Like if it was cool to save money, everybody would do it. Like if your favorite entertainer or athlete or super, whoever, your favorite celebrity started promoting savings. Mm-hmm. You know what happened, Skylar? People start saving money.
Yep, that's true. That's a good point. I've never thought of that one. But like if someone was up on a stage sharing about, instead of sharing like all the cool stuff save they your bought.
Money.
Yeah.
Save your money.
they're talking about their S&P 500 index fund they're investing in. People will do it. That's funny. Yeah. That's a good one. I like that. Yeah. Someone needs to make it cool. That's your job, Jasper.
I'm trying, man. I'm trying. But I laugh because somebody didn't. I said, think about the other stuff we gravitate towards in our life. It's usually fun stuff. You know, we're usually excited. There's that cool factor. Like, yo, this, I could get into that. But savings or saving money or budgeting, all these financial things, they just aren't hyped up enough to make you feel excited enough to do the work. Although in your mind, you know, you should do it. So yes, ideally, Skylar, I am trying to make this fun as possible. If I can make it a little bit cooler, I'll try my best because that may encourage more people to try it out.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, I love that idea. Just making it cooler, making it more connected, accountability partners, like you said, all that stuff, talking about it gets us heading towards that goal. But what's the point? Like, what's the point in saving for the future? And what does it unlock for you? Like, what kind of doors does it open?
They always say the old adage is that, you know, you need to prepare for a rainy day. It's going to rain no matter where you live. And I live in California. Yes, it rains here too sometimes during the winter, but you're going to have that emergency. And it's nice to be able to say, you know what? An emergency came up and then it becomes a minor inconvenience because we had the cash.
Yeah. I've used that same term on some of my previous episodes about the emergency fund. Like, I say it's an emergency if you don't have an emergency fund. That's right. That's my go-to. You got to get that rainy day fund there because it's going to happen. And
in reality is when you don't have it, everything will be an emergency. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as you start saving money and you have it, not much will happen. It's almost like, why? That's just how the universe works, where you're glad you have it if something does ever pop up. But it's hard for the folks who have never had one to understand what life is like. So I think that's a very big reason as to why you want to save. But also, maybe you are saving for the house or the down payment for a car, a boat. Maybe it's just a vacation. You know, a lot of people save up. And that, I think that's a very valid reason, is let's save some money so we can enjoy this vacation.
Yeah, I like that. People have just never experienced having that safety net, because when you don't have it, simple things like filling up your gas tank sometimes can be an emergency because you got to get to work. That stuff. And that can be really challenging, because that's emotionally draining on you, because it can maybe be embarrassing, or there's a whole lot that can come with that. But like, those sort of things don't have to be emergencies.
Yeah. Hopefully we can get past that. I don't even know why people are so afraid to do it. Like, we know life is going to happen to all of us, but there's still that block, whether it's in our mind or it's emotionally. I don't know what it is, Skylar. But like, the fact that we know stuff will happen as long as we keep living, and yet people still aren't proactively working on improving their savings levels.
Yeah, it's interesting. Hopefully something clicks and just things change. And one of the things I talk about is, I wonder how different, like, just the economy would look if credit card debt didn't exist. Like, that'd be crazy. Like, that sort of stuff, when you start thinking about it and start thinking about ways that people could change their financial life, it gets you real motivated to help people.
Yeah. The world would look way different.
Yeah.
Way different.
Awesome. Well, I think that this has been a fantastic conversation about saving, a little bit of spending, and investing for the future. I hope everyone listening got something from this. I know I did. There's been some great insights shared. So thanks, Jasper. Was there anything you wanted to share with the audience, how they can find you and all that sort of fun stuff?
Yeah. Last word I'll say is, just believe you can do it. And again, I think if you can just start where you are and then gradually make the enhancements to the program. So again, if you're starting out at $20, see how quick you can get to 25 to 30. Like, make it a game, make it fun, make it a challenge, grab some other people to hold you accountable, and all of you do it together. And so this is, you know, a lot of like my mission with the Build Wealth Movement, which is my organization, is I want people to really just get comfortable talking about money, changing the way we think about money, and addressing or discussing the emotions that are attached to a lot of this financial stuff, because the stress is what's eating people alive. And I'm trying to do my best to help alleviate a lot of that stress. So if folks want to check out some more of my work, they can find me at thebuildwealthmovement.com. You'll see a lot of resources on there. If you want to connect, you can reach out. I'm pretty heavy on LinkedIn at the moment, and nice. A little bit on Instagram. I'm trying to revamp some Instagram stuff, but on Instagram, I'm at Mr_BuildWealth. So again, thebuildwealthmovement.com is where you can find all of my stuff. Instagram at Mr_BuildWealth. And feel free to tap in with me on LinkedIn at Jasper Smith. You'll see my face. I even have Mr. Bill Wealth in the title. So if you're like, can't remember his name, just type in Mr. Bill Wealth. I'll probably pop up somewhere on the internet.
Well, thank you so much to Jasper for coming on for another great interview. A couple of quick takeaways that I think are going to be really helpful for you. A couple of things that I noted: you're not going to get wealthy off of saving, at least not at a bank. Make sure you're looking at the stock market. There's plenty of episodes on my podcast about simple investing. Start there. It's a great place to start. Look at things like the S&P 500. Another great takeaway: planning is personal. You're going to have to figure it out for yourself. There's a balance. We said the word balance a bunch of times on this interview, which is perfect because that's what it is. You got to make sure you're looking at your situation and figuring out what works for you. And make sure you start where you are. Start with the small growth and the small little pieces of momentum that are going to carry you forward. And one of my favorite things that goes into what our conversation was about is the idea of the automatic millionaire. And that book talks about how you can very likely save a decent percentage of your money and not even notice it. So make sure you go back and look at some of the episodes about automation and becoming an automatic millionaire. I have one coming up next week about how to automate your wealth journey and that whole thing. And it's super fun. That's a fun conversation. So stay tuned for next week and make sure you subscribe and make sure you invite your friends to have a money talk with you. But next, let's wrap up today's episode. Thank you again to Jasper for coming on this episode. That was a fun conversation. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I hope each one of you listening took something away from this conversation about how you can develop a money talk partner and accountability partner and start reaching those savings goals. Start investing and moving towards saving with a purpose and saving to grow wealth on your wealth journey. Make sure you check out Jasper. His information is all in the show notes, his website, and everything you need to know to find and contact him. If something he said resonated with you, please reach out to him and contact him and start working with him if you need to. But I think this episode is going to be really helpful for a lot of people a long time into the future. So make sure you save this one, favorite it, give it 5 stars, and share with a friend. I really appreciate it. This podcast is continuing to grow, and it's because of the great guests we're having on. So if you have any idea of someone who would be good on the podcast or you want to come on the podcast, please reach out to me. My email is in the show notes. But thank you so much for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk. The Money Talk show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and should not be used for personal or specific financial advice. Every situation is unique and different. Please make sure to do your own research for your personal financial situation.